BFF.fm, best frequencies forever. BFF.fm, best frequencies
forever. Streaming with my besties. All right. Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.fm. That was approximately half of the 7 minute long All by Myself by Eric McCann, I think. I don't know, just somebody who's really going through some stuff, Eric Carmen. And today we are talking about the Netflix original Living With Yourself, starring Paul Rudd and Aisling Bea, who has been featured, well, not featured, but we talked about her show, which is called This Way Up, a few weeks ago. So you should also check that out. Good morning. I am Leah, and I'm here with Jess.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Just so you guys know, too, we are definitely the clone versions. We're our skin is dewy and perfect. My hair has never looked better.
Not a wrinkle on my forehead.
I expect this show to be flawless.
I can pull off a bright tail sweater. I didn't used to be able to. And yeah. People have questions.
Yes. So, yeah, if you have questions, feel free to tweet them at us. We would love to talk to you or your clones. We are at BFF TV on the radio on Twitter. And if your clones have a lot to add, very thoughtful, insightful things, they can feel free to email us at that same address, BFF TV on the radio at good old Gmail. all right. So Living With Yourself. Mm-hmm. The Netflix vehicle for not one, but two Paul Rudds.
I know. Someone must have been like, what's better than Paul Rudd? Two Paul Rudds.
Who can we get to star opposite Paul Rudd who's as charismatic as Paul Rudd? Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
The only correct answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starring Paul Rudd as a sad sack, suburban.
The greatest challenge of his acting career.
Suburban guy who's kind of dissatisfied with his life. And has a mortal enemy at work. Very, very relatable content right out the gate. Has a mortal enemy at work who seems to be just doing a great job. And that guy gives him a recommendation for the top happy spa, which he goes to in a strip mall. And finds himself cloned, which was not his original intent. He just wanted his life to be better.
Right. And the idea is the spa that just like, it just makes you a little better.
And yeah.
His procedure was botched.
Makes you kind of your best version of yourself.
Yeah.
Also, that is truly relatable content. Like, I would definitely be the person who they're like, well, there was nothing else to find. Sorry. So then I guess.
This because is you're just the best you version of yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
No. They're like, I guess this is, sorry.
We can only do so much.
Yeah. Sorry. But. Yeah, so the show, what did you think, first of all?
I enjoyed it. I binged through it. It was very fun and digestible. Yeah, as for like the sort of broad message, I'm not really sure what to take away from it.
Yeah.
It wasn't life-changing, but I liked it. You said that friend of the show, Tim Goodman, said it was a better comedy than it was... I don't know, drama.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely true. There were some LOL moments. The whole bit with the FDA was so funny to me.
Bridget Everett doing, she showed up on our show. Not she did, but we were talking about her and her role in that Unbelievable. Yeah, Bridget Everett was great.
I'm always happy when she pops up.
Yeah, there were, I also enjoyed the show. Binged it pretty quickly. It took us like two or three nights to watch it. It's 8 30-minute episodes.
Yeah.
Everybody's preferred viewing method nowadays. I feel like if somebody expects me to watch an hour, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
really?
Totally.
Unless it's Succession.
But
yeah, I felt like the show, I think it's a super interesting concept. I think that Paul Rudd was totally the perfect cast, or cast perfectly in this role. Paul Rudd as like an everyman who can play to both sides of that, like, you know, like the misery, like kind of the misery of your life just depressing you over the cumulative number of years, and then like the absolute like handsome good boy Labrador quality that Paul Rudd has. Like, he really was like a strong anchor for the show, but I thought that it was a little uneven tonally. I thought that it had maybe like some bigger things that it left up in the air. And I think that it, I think it was kind of a setup for season two. is ultimately how I walked away from the first season.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I say this all the time. There are so many shows. I feel like with these high concept shows, it's very weird to me. I don't know, just to think about season two of this show.
Yeah.
But like, there's, if there's money to be made, there's always going to be a season two. But so what is the takeaway from this? He goes to like get self-improvement, like better living through chemistry at the spa. It turns out they are actually just cloning people with a better version of their DNA and then murdering the original one and burying them in a state forest or something.
I mean, is it murder if you're really looking to be, you know? I feel like that version of Paul Rudd was hoping for a sweet release from his life.
Disagree, but and so his procedure is botched and he, you know, wakes up in the forest and meets his clone. And but like, so his clone is, you know, stands up straighter. He smiles and he combs his hair and is more enthusiastic and is like suddenly like wildly more successful. Like he's killing it at work, you know, is reigniting the spark of his marriage by just like actually cooking dinner and not being a sad fucking asshole for one night. So is the message that like, you know, it's like Dumbo. Dumbo thought he could fly because he had a magic feather, but he actually could just fly. So is it just like stand up straight and be nice to people and you will be much more like, or is it just like if you're a handsome white man, like, all you have to do is try a little bit.
Yeah,
fucking kill it at life.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the interesting thing about the show is, like, there's tons of different ways you could read it. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things that I was not satisfied with at all is, like, we talked about this a little bit earlier this week, but I feel like we get a lot of shows about this truly mediocre fucking white man who is dissatisfied because he's not the master of the universe in the way that he feels entitled to be.
Right.
And that, like, it's a theme. It's been shown on like so many TV shows about like this guy just sort of checks out. And like, that's maddening to me because that's truly a path that I feel like some guys take. Cool. I feel like they're just like, okay, I can coast now. I'm like married. I have this house in the suburbs. I have this fucking job. I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to try at anything.
Yeah.
And I think that, that's absolutely one of the things that you can take away from it is like, you're not entitled to shit. You have to put in the work for it. And like, just because things didn't go the way you want means you get a pass to just like be sad about that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a uniquely distinct male experience that women don't get to enjoy in the same way, because you have to pick up the kids, you have to fucking cook dinner, you have to, like, you don't get to check out at your like table of sad dreams that you never got to complete, because you're now also like supporting this sad sack guy who you're trying to, you know, keep afloat too. And I was like maddened by that, but then I also think you could take the, like, one of the big things is that his clone version just wants the life that he has. Like, he doesn't strive for anything more than that. Like, he's like, you're amazing. Like, he wants this wife. He wants this job. He wants all of that. So is it that, like, at heart, the true best version of yourself would be satisfied with what you've built?
Sees the, like,
yeah.
Has gratitude for gifts life for has like given him.
For what you've built. And then there's also the thing about like, is your life more than just, so your clone version has all your memories, but it doesn't have any of the experiences. Like, there's, I thought, a really well done scene. There's gonna be spoilers in the show as always, but Aisling Bea, who plays his wife, what's her name? I can't remember. Kate, I think. Aisling Bea, who plays his wife, Kate, is, you know, delighted to have this new engaged Miles around. And then, of course, finds out that the whole plot unravels and she finds out that it's a clone and the whole thing. And she kicks out the new Miles and keeps the old busted Miles, which what you doing, girl?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, my initial sense would be like, I'm staying with the new shiny version. Why don't you go away?
See, I don't know.
No.
Like,
well,
you would feel like, oh, but the old one's the real one. And well, I made a commitment to the shitty version.
Well, so.
The new one's going to be fine on his own. I'll keep giving all
yeah,
of my.
Yeah, look at him. He's got everything going for him. I should set yeah. him free for somebody else to enjoy.
Exactly. but, I don't deserve the better one.
But I do think that was one of the things that was interesting. So in the end, she ends up like as her relationship with the real, quote unquote, real Miles starts to break down even further because he's like, even now he's a dick. And now he's like in competition with himself, with the best version of himself. And that's also, believe me, the existential horror of having to face a better version of yourself is truly something that I don't wish on anyone except maybe Donald Trump. But there is no better version. So anyway, and he's not dumb enough to think about anything anyway. So, yeah. Or he's dumb enough. I don't know what I'm saying. I got off on a tangent. Let's get back to Paul Rudd. But she ends up sleeping with the new version of Paul Rudd. And or the clone version, I guess, not the new version. And they have this like what I feel was a really well like written scene that just kind of got to the heart of like he has all these memories and he has like all the right stories and he's engaged and he's on the same page as her. But he doesn't have like that experience. And
is that what we were meant to understand from their like awkward sex scene where
is that? Yeah, like he's just new. Basically, like everybody would have that same level of enthusiasm about your life when you're just new. Like,
yeah,
it's also, you know, are your memories truly nothing without like the lived in experience or trauma or whatever of your memories, too? And I think that that was kind of what it was hinting at. She's like, you're like, look at you, like you're perfect. And this isn't it for me. Like he was like, but I don't have any of the resentments. I don't have any of the like baggage that other schlubby guy has. And she's like, yeah, but that's.
Well, she said, but I do.
Yeah.
She has bitterness that, you know. Yeah. I wasn't really sure what to take away from that.
I thought it was like that lived in like that shared experience of even doing your shitty, like, are you going to go to the fertility clinic today? Probably not. Like that actual experience can't be replaced by like just having the memories of your relationship or remembering like why you fell in love or whatever. I don't know. But I thought the show was interesting and I thought it like sort of explored a lot of things that, you know, had things to say, but I didn't feel like any of them were developed well enough to be thoroughly satisfying for me.
Yeah, same.
And I feel like it was kind of set up with a look to season two. And I also thought there's a big Paul Rudd, the real Paul Rudd, gets kidnapped by the FDA.
The real Miles.
the real Miles, not the real Paul. Well, we don't know. How do we know Paul Rudd's not a clone? Yeah, the real Miles gets kidnapped by the FDA.
Arrested,
kidnapped, whatever.
Allegedly. Well, that was funny. Like they are told him he was under arrest and like it sort of comes out that the FDA doesn't have the authority to arrest people.
And they lock him in a storage room that was also like the lactation room in like this basement. But
that was very funny.
Yeah, it was very funny. There were a lot of really funny moments. Mm-hmm. There's also the moment where at first, of course, Miles is like, this is great. I'll just send my clone guy to do all the boring parts of my life that I don't want to do. And then I'll work on my great American novel. Yes. And it cuts immediately to him watching porn on his computer screen. And then he says, wait, what am I doing? And then you see him move to his giant big screen TV to watch the porn, which, again, very relatable content.
Yeah, when he, like, he sends his clone to the office to, like, succeed at work, and he sits down to write his play. And I was like, there's no goddamn way he would get right back to working on his play. And I was correct.
Yeah, yeah. But
I've been there, and I've watched that porn and drank beer in the afternoon.
10 a.m. being the afternoon in this case. Yeah,
after yesterday's news.
But I thought that there was a lot that was really funny, but it turns out that he being arrested by the FDA and held in this lactation storage closet, reading old copies of Parents Magazine, right. Decides that he now wants this life. He also gets a call from the fertility center because he had did he or did the clone go and do the deposit at the sperm bank?
Oh, no,
it was him, right?
Yeah.
I think
so.
I don't recall.
No, it was. Why would the clone go to the fertility center? He's probably got great swimmers.
Yeah, but he had the original. There was a whole kind of.
Oh, the thing with the phone.
He had the phone, and so yeah. He got the message.
It is definitely a show where, I mean, it's based, the premise is pretty crazy. And you can't get bogged down in like what actual people would do. You have to, there's a suspension of disbelief involved. Like if you were trying to get your clone to leave town, would you give him your iPhone? No, get your own fucking iPhone. Yeah. Clone. Like his wife keeps calling him and the clone picks up. And yeah. It's like he's gone for long stretches of time in the middle of the night. And yeah. She never has any questions about that.
Same. Hard same. I mean, I think that's the, yeah. I think also like it's not too bogged down in the quote unquote science of the show.
Oh,
like
sure.
It's
not hard sci-fi.
Yeah. There's not a long drawn out scene where you see the computer boop, boop, boop while he's being cloned. But yeah, like the rules of the world are pretty nebulous because mm-hmm. whatever, like this isn't real. Or is it? The one thing is when he first goes to Top Happy Spa and he sees that it's in a strip mall, like he's having this moment of doubt in mm-hmm. the parking lot, and then Tom fucking Brady walks out.
Oh, right.
And then Tom Brady turns to him and says, first time, huh? So I'm like, that absolutely checks out that like Tom Brady is now on like version 7.
No, he asked Tom Brady if it's his first time and he says, no, 6th.
Oh,
and
six.
So, like,
okay.
I guess maybe, well, the implication is that there are 6 dead Tom Brady's buried in the forest somewhere, like,
which very deeply, that's a very satisfying. But, like, also, is the implication, so if the goal is that, like, they remake you with your best DNA, like, what's better than best? Like, Tom fucking Brady, like, this alternate version of Tom fucking Brady that we're forced to deal with, like, maybe he really doesn't get sunburned, guys. Maybe I shouldn't shit on his book.
Well, how
maybe,
shitty like, was the, like, original Tom Brady? Like, imagine that.
Yeah. Maybe
this is the best, like, 6 times over.
Yeah, maybe the ultimate, like, genetically best version of Tom Brady really can stave off sunburn with water drinking.
Yeah.
With water consumption.
Kind of dumb for him to try to, like, monetize that and sell it to non-genetic clones. But you
sure.
Go ahead, Tom Brady.
Sure.
Maybe the 7th one will have a smarter brain.
I think that's the thing. It's kind of like labradoodles. Just because we can, did we ever stop to think whether we should? The inventor of the labradoodle regrets it. he does.
I read that.
Yeah. But also, just to get back to kind of one of the things that irritated me is, yeah, one of the messages is like, if you just tried, like maybe fix your hair and wear like some nicer clothes and actually listen to people, mm-hmm. like your life would be better.
I hate that, like, message.
Yeah, but it's like that.
I don't like that.
But in my mind, that only applies to men.
Yeah, true.
Because women don't feel that same sense of entitlement that like it should be better without me doing anything about it. That's mm-hmm. why the fucking fitness, you know, like that's why Pilates and Curves and Weight Watchers are all billion-dollar industries, because mm-hmm. women are constantly striving to try to be better. That's why every single time I walk into Sephora, I'm like, this is it, guys.
Oh,
this
totally.
Is where I level up. This lipstick is what's going to turn my life around.
I got a package coming to me tomorrow, and I had literally the same thought.
Yeah.
This is going to be the lipstick. This is going to be the one that changes everything.
This is where I
and
level
I'm gonna
up.
And I'm going to put it on. It's going to be the same goddamn color as my lips, just like every lipstick I've spent $39 on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or my favorite is when I spend $36 on a Dior lipstick and then constantly apply my $179 Dr. Pepper lip balm that really is what looks best.
Your lip smackers.
Yeah.
How is Dior lipstick?
How is what?
Dior lipstick.
Oh, it's great. That like Dior Kiss or whatever it's called, that's supposed to change color based on like
your
perfect
mood?
No, not your mood, but like it's supposed to be the perfect shade for everybody because it's like heat pigment activated.
Ooh.
Or something. It's good. It's
okay.
Good.
I'm gonna try that.
Yeah.
Is it a like brush on gloss or is it a
No, it's a matte stick, but it's a gloss. Yeah. But yeah, stay tuned to TV on the Radio for all of your Sephora
beauty talk.
Sephora beauty talks. Also, I did see a tweet today that said, do you ever think about how your Sephora VIP insider points equal
dollars? I think about that all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge mistake because every time I look at that number, I am reminded of how much I've spent at Sephora, just since the last time I redeemed my points. Mm-hmm. They should make it 10-1 or 6-1 or some number where you forget that you can't think of the dollar amount you've spent,
mm-hmm.
or change it up based on different brands or something. I hate it. Should we say our numbers at the same time?
No.
I can't. My husband's listening.
Yeah, I can't. Your husband's listening to me. I can't. Yeah, no. That'll be my secret shame until the day I die, okay? But all I'm saying is last time they gave me two samples of $400 worth of makeup, and I still have plenty of points left. I'm not worried about it. Anyway, all that aside, my thing is, so season two, so it ends up that he has this revelation that he wants to have a kid, which is what
you said was not earned. And I didn't agree.
I did not think that was earned at all.
That scene, he was just locked in a lactation room reading Parenting magazine, and we're to believe he had some sort of epiphany in that moment. Those magazines are not very inspiring.
No, but it's also just the fact that he took time out of being that's literally what it took for him to actually think about the thing that his partner has been asking him to do. He had to be locked in a fucking lactation room to even take the 20 minutes to think about whether or not that's something he wanted. And I felt like that was true. But anyway, the other thing that irritated me is he's the reason they moved to the suburbs.
Yeah.
So, you don't get to make these choices and then, be sad about them. You don't get to just drop out of your life and then show up 10 years later and be like, this is what I want, and expect everything to be the same. And I didn't feel like that was earned. But the show ends with her being pregnant. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously they can't tell who's the father. She has slept with both of them.
Yeah.
And he's excited about it. And the clone is overcome with emotion. And I have zero interest in seeing them as a triad trying to raise a baby, unless it goes down three men and a little lady territory. Get another clone in there. That's all I care about. I'm not interested in seeing that at all. I think season two should be a spinoff where a woman gets a clone, and then you just see the way that now she's able to actually accomplish all the things that she feels like she's shortchanging her life on. She'd be great at work because she doesn't have to get the kids because her clone can pick them up. She's a good partner now because she can split that with somebody else. Everybody needs a wife is the point. And I would love to see the difference between this sad sack guy who gets what's ostensibly a gift and could really be, I don't know, useful in your life.
Do you think if a woman had a clone that was a just slightly changed version of herself, I feel like I would feel like, oh my God, I brought this life into the world and she's genetically the same as me.
Now,
I would feel an obligation to take care of my clone, even though my clone presumably should be taking care of me because she's better and more competent. But he's immediately in competition with his clone and, enraged at his presence and the literal mirror that's making him examine everything he's done wrong in his life. And I would have all that too. I'm sure I would be filled with rage and resentment, but I would feel like I have to take care of this person.
Yeah. I don't know. I would feel like, let's team up. Let's make this work. You know,
you probably would.
Yeah. And then, cut to, Vance presidency 2024 and everything would be great. Universal healthcare, guys. Also,
Medicare for all, clones for all.
Yeah.
It's covered.
All the women get clones.
Oh, yeah.
Men don't need them.
We don't need anymore.
But yeah, I was I would like to see this be a impactful feel-good story about somebody who's going to change the world for better through having a clone to do all the stuff that you feel like you can't get to. Mm-hmm. All the letters I want to write to my friends, all the things
I have
a lot of friends who live overseas. Okay. I should be reaching out more. Okay. I'm just saying, not all right. Whatever. Like, I'd like to, you know,
sure.
Do more thoughtful stuff. Reach be better. Out more. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Be, you know, I'd like to be able to accomplish everything I needed to at work without having to compromise to go home to my family. And I'd like to be able to spend all my time with my family without having to compromise and do something sure. else, you know, all of that. And this guy is just like, I just need to jerk off in front of like the big, you know, big TV. So I don't know. I'm just saying that even Paul Rudd's not perfect, guys. That's the real takeaway here.
Pulling him a couple more times and we'll get there.
Greatest actor of our generation. That's how you know he's acting, because Paul Rudd is perfect.
He is very compelling. And I have, I mean, all a classic challenge playing two roles. Like, I was moved by their interactions. Yeah. Sometimes I did forget that it wasn't two different people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I understand this is more of the whatever. I don't know who would have been responsible for this, but their fight scene, I was really like, that was brutal to yeah. watch. I was really like on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, yeah. The like sheer self-hatred you yeah. have to just like absolutely decimate
yeah.
a better version of yourself.
Yeah, that was
rough. All right. Well, we're going to go to another song, and then when we come back, we'll talk a little more about living with yourself. Keep it here on BFF.FM. Maybe we'll go to another song.
Your volume's down.
Oh, well, there you go.
Other one.
Make your love till everything's forgotten. I know you hate that. Always when we fight, I kiss you once or twice. And everything's forgotten. I know you hate that. I love you, Sunday sun. The week's not yet begun. And everything is quiet. And it's always you and me.
Community radio for the San Francisco music scene.
BFF.FM, best frequencies forever.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to BFF.FM.
Community radio.
Community radio. And today we are talking about the Netflix show Living With Yourself, starring Paul Rudd and Aisling Bea. Let's get to the real questions of our time.
Okay.
Or one of the biggest things that I had a problem with in the show, the last episode. So there's this very, very like brutal scene where the clones are beating each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Like the clone also, there's the ethical, you know, question. He's like, you know, what's my purpose? Like, why am I here? Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, is it ethical to create someone who has all your memories? And so, yeah, he ends up like utterly adrift because he knows that original Miles is getting back together with Kate and not him. And he's like contemplating suicide, but then he
can't. Oh, God, that was hard to watch.
It was really hard to watch. But then he can't do it. And Miles finds out that Kate has slept with clone Miles. And so he goes in a rage to murder him, essentially. And there's this like very, very like there's a terrible scene where they're like beating each other up. And she shows up and then says to them like or she says to Miles, like, you know, I've betrayed you horribly and I don't know how you can ever forgive me, but I'm pregnant. And I'm like, excuse me, no apology needed, m'lady. Like, this fucker, like, stole your $50,000 life savings to spend on cloning himself, which I know he didn't know that's what he was doing. But still, like, the absolute, like, selfishness of this guy to do this huge life thing and then, like, is still a dick after the whole thing.
Yeah. Like, I imagine, I don't know. Is it cheating on your husband to sleep with his clone? Probably. But yeah, he put her through hell. He cloned himself. He fucking lied about it. He disappears all night long to go hang out with his clone. She finds out because he sends the clone to go to work for him. And the clone ends up, I think, at a work event at TGI Fridays with everyone, including his wife. And then original Miles shows up. And that's how she fucking finds out that he has a clone. Yeah, I think he has more apologizing to do than she does.
Yeah.
And yeah, throughout the whole thing, he keeps, he said, I mean, I think the show has self-awareness that he's a fucking dick and his problem is he's too, like,
up his own ass.
Yeah,
about
exactly,
everything.
Up his own ass. But he keeps saying, like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
He's a real piece of work.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not apologizing for sleeping with my husband's clone. Okay, that's all I have to say. All right. Okay, that's my last word on the matter. no apology will be issued, and we asked for privacy during this difficult time. but yeah, even that is like just the sheer gall of like expecting. I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, you cloned yourself. All other rules are off the table now, okay? I can do whatever the fuck I want because you owe me for a long time. And they only got that money back because they caused a fuss when they went back to the Top Happy Spa. Top Happy Spa had a firm no refunds policy. They threatened to go to the newspapers.
Top Happy Spa was very funny, too.
It was
that
great.
Alan Yang?
Yes.
Yes. I've been rewatching Master of None season two.
Yeah.
God damn, it's so good.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the Aziz Ansari latest special, and I thought it was good.
I did watch that. I can't remember if I finished it.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought he addressed his bustle story or whatever it was.
The babe.net or whatever.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
He addressed that straight on and then got deep on sort of the idea of cancel culture and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was worth a watch. I thought he had something interesting to say. I also watched the Jenny Slate. I'm just telling you guys what I've been watching.
Sure, why not?
I also watched the Jenny Slate.
Is that good?
Now that I have a clone, I have so much more time, guys. It's great.
Oh, really?
It's all right. There were like, I think I actually laughed like twice.
Yeah.
And I didn't find it that funny. I like her fine, but I'm not as hyped on Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
I
find her exceptionally charming and sweet.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of her stand up. I saw like one clip on Twitter that was a promo and it was funny, but
it doesn't
mean anything.
Also here at TV on the Radio, we're always up for your comedy special recommendations.
Yeah, please.
If you have something that's really funny. Sometimes on a Saturday night, like you've had some drinks, you don't want to get involved in something big. Yeah. You just want to watch like
have
comedy
you watched
special
any
that's funny.
Marc Maron comedy?
No, I haven't.
Oh
not.
My God, he is funny.
Really?
I really have come multiple full circles on
We've
Marc
both
Maron.
Been on quite a journey with Marc Maron, and now I'm firmly pro Maron.
Well, now I'm like, I was I watched it with my sister and brother-in-law, and I was talking about how I used to think Marc Maron was such a piece of shit, but kind of started coming around to him after watching Glow. And they're like, why did you think that? And then I'm like, I don't know.
I think it's bad vibe. He's so outwardly like a grumpy asshole. And now I'm like, that's what I'm looking for. Don't try to snow me with your like Johnny come lately sunny personality and then turn into a grumpy dick. Like, that was the other thing in the show, is that they show glimpses of like Paul Rudd, Miles being this like loving, involved husband, you know? And like, yeah, it's like, at what point does that taper off? It's like, I don't know. Anyway, the real elephant in the room that we haven't gotten to yet is the sheer psychopathy of people who choreograph wedding dances
for their wedding. It's crazy. She does the dance with the clone and it doesn't work.
Well, she's like, I forget.
She didn't want to do it. But then when she does it with Miles and it's supposed to be very charming, I was just like, oh,
yeah,
disgusting.
Same. It also felt like very hard for Paul Rudd. Like,
oh, really?
I'm just saying, I'm projecting my image of Paul Rudd is that like, that's debasing for Paul. Obviously, it's not debasing for Paul Rudd. Like, no. Paul Rudd is a Labrador, up for anything, very good boy. Like, I'm sure that, like, it was fun for Paul Rudd to do a choreographed dance.
Yeah.
It made perfect sense for Aisling B. If you guys listen to our Dairy Girls episode, you know that there's nothing the Irish love more than choreographed dance. Rock the Boat, Macarena. Line dancing was huge in Ireland.
That is wild.
It's mainly just because we can't dance, so we need somebody to actually point out the steps. But so it made perfect sense that Aisling B would do that. But why would you do that as part of your wedding? Why? And I also think that very much belies...
Also, that song, wildly inappropriate for a wedding dance.
I also think it very much belies the thing, like, Miles is the guy who moved them to the suburbs, who bought this house with the stupid pole in the center.
That house, like... Okay, you go on. I want to talk about sort of the setting and the vibe of the whole show.
How it's all Stepford.
It reminded me of, what was that Fred Armisen show we watched on Amazon where they're dead? Yes.
Forever? It had that vibe. No, Forever.
Like, something.
Some, one
it
of
was
those.
A word.
Always and Forever.
It had that sort of like sterile. Yeah, just like no... there was some sterility to the setting that I found left me very cold, and that might have been the intention. But
I think you see them, like, they have this vibrant life in New York. He moves her to the suburbs. They end up, whatever, they're in the suburbs. But also, like, little things like that, like the fact that they had this choreographed dance for their wedding, just shows, like, everybody thinks they're cooler than they really are. Like, you know, Miles is mourning this, like, life that he thought he'd have where he, like, wins these awards and he's great at his job or whatever. But it's like, you're still the dick who choreographed a dance to your wedding, dude. Like, you weren't all that cool in the beginning anyway. Like, you know, and there's... I just think... Again, the recurring theme is just, like, get over yourself, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all anybody has to do is try in life. Like, try a little bit harder and it can be easier for you. Like, you don't have to live in this misery when you have this, like, perfectly fine life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that constant, I don't know, is the message of the show that you should never want anything else?
I'm not sure. It did seem sort of like...
satisfying life.
Like, all you really need to do is sort of open your heart to let success come to you. But I don't know. I wonder if there is, like, I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. you're not going to win at life. There's not really, like, you're probably not going to get your play published, you know, like.
He's definitely not going to get his play published because his clone erased it all.
His clone rewrote it with a murder theme, which foreshadowed the potential that one of them would murder the other.
That was also extremely funny, the clone in the store buying all the tools that he needed to murder. trying on the
pillow. Sold guns.
Trying on the pillowcase over his head to see if it fit. And yeah, you see him with like a shovel, some rope, yeah, some duct tape, a burlap sack. Like, it's very funny.
Which we all know better than to buy that stuff at the same store.
That's literally so many Datelines I've watched, yeah, have been like, here's the guy buying a giant tote and like, mm-hmm, yeah, acid to dissolve a body.
Yeah.
That's how people get caught, which,
totally,
you know, God bless them. I mean, I don't know.
Use cash, people.
Yeah. Well, everybody's being surveilled all, yeah, the time now, true, anyway.
I don't know how anyone gets away with anything
even
anymore,
if you're using cash. Yeah, what else do you want to say about living with yourself? There were some, I did think, like you said, friend of the show Tim Goodman said that it seemed to work better as a comedy than a drama.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely agree with that. It was nice to see Desmond Borges, who was in
Is that
You're the Worst.
Name? Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah, he was funny, and he's got that, like, I also love that, so he's a clone. He's the one who refers him to the,
right,
spa. And clone Miles blows the lid off the whole thing,
right,
and shows him that he's a clone, and he just doesn't give a fuck.
He's just like, that was like,
okay, like he has a moment of, yeah, introspection, and then is like, oh well, like we can be clone bros,
yeah,
bro, like we should go out on the town like clone bros. And it's just like, see, that's why this guy is successful, because,
yeah,
you know,
who cares,
lemon's lemonade, like, okay, I'm a clone, like whatever, you still,
I, yeah, know, I cloning, man, it's gonna be weird when that's normal.
Yeah, when that's normal.
Because I think we are in a process of like just letting go of like ethical and philosophical questions, and we're,
oh, we're,
I,
further,
we're
along in that process than we think,
right,
yeah,
past any of that at some point, and just like clone everything, clone, yep, whatever you want, you, yep, want a T-Rex, you want a T-Rex for your kid's 7th birthday, guess what, you can have one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, would you clone yourself?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I forget, like, pondering the philosophical question. Like, I don't want to even think about the
ethical
implications of,
yeah,
that. Yeah, the ethics of it. I mean, I think that's unethical, right? Just creating someone out of,
yeah,
out of, you know, just like a photocopy. I wouldn't get my pet cloned. I think that's weird. Also, if TV has taught us anything, the clone's going to be evil.
Oh, you, yeah, know? Absolutely. They're definitely going to turn against you at,
yeah,
some point. They're definitely going to take over. And that's really what you deserve.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. At that point.
It does. I know that this is probably 100% ingrained in me by pop culture and television. But like, and I'm 100% an atheist. But I think if you fuck with God's creation, you're going to get punished.
Yeah.
This is how I felt when, like, I woke up where my phone was making this little chirping sound at like 4:30 in the morning, mm-hmm, like not a sound I've ever heard it make, not like a loud, like an alarm I forgot I set or something. It was a very faint sound. And I woke up and it was disorienting, and like there were no notifications. It was just making a chirping sound. And I, like, finally it turned off. Then it happened again like 15 minutes later. It's like, this is some Twilight Zone shit. I'm,
yep,
getting punished for my reliance on technology,
yeah,
and like, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be worse when I have a clone.
We've strayed too far from God's light.
Yes, exactly. You shouldn't eat tomatoes in January, and you shouldn't clone yourself.
I feel like $50,000 is actually super reasonable.
Real
for
bargain
that.
Basement,
like,
clone.
That's like, yeah, you need to, I don't know. Yeah. Can I get like better than the best version of myself? Like, for if I pay $100,000?
Yeah. What's, yeah, the upgrade package?
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at my notes here, and I wrote, what's your big pitch to win the bacon account? And I realized that
need to talk about that.
I realized I've conflated this in my head. It's actually a wireless cell,
right,
account, but they sent him a side of pig as like a thank you for his pitch. And so I think that ties in also with the, with your, like, the sterility. Like, there's a scene of him waking up in the forest and then like cutting through this corn farm to like,
uh-huh,
there's a lot of like big city versus suburbia versus small town,
yeah,
sort of things that they're getting at, which again is why, and also no payoff like for the end of the wireless communication
account. There's
some
sort of symbolism or something. Yeah, because there is the farming imagery, and there's something about the like
neighbors, where your neighbors.
Yeah, and like, so, but the account, the client that he's trying to design this pitch for talks to him in private and somehow understands that he something about what's going on. He's like, you're not the person who pitched this.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you're doing when it was working, do that. He was essentially saying, I know you have a clone and I don't care.
Yeah.
And then he told this horrifying story about being in a concentration camp during the Holocaust and watching a child get killed. But he's also a pig farmer and is feeding everyone, like, at the table, whatever, porchetta or whatever. I don't know what any cured meats are. Jews typically don't eat pork. So I was trying to figure out what that was about. And, yeah, then he sends him the pig later, like a side of pig.
Yeah.
Which is just a carcass hanging in a wooden crate that's still bleeding for some reason. I don't know much about curing pork, but I don't think it's still supposed to be dripping blood when you ship it to someone. Anyway, animal imagery, Leah, you were supposed to explain that to me. What does the pig mean?
I don't know. I thought it was a bacon account. I got lost in the fact that it was a wireless. He got the big bacon account. Like, I don't know. I that whole thing was, again, it felt very much like a setup for season two. Like,
okay.
It's where it's going down like a Twilight Zone road. Like, I don't know. It'd really be fucking wild if this all was like a Holocaust denial thing about like clones. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
No bad ideas in the pitch room.
Oh, I did. I will say also, like, on the very funny. So the pitch room that, you know, he works for this like marketing company and the pitch room is all like, it's got all these, you know, like live, laugh, love type things on the wall. But it's like Mondays are for heroes and like all this like really, really terrible.
So it was
like,
WeWork.
Shifting the paradigm bullshit type stuff. Ugh. That I was like, that's exactly right. Like, and of course, the Desmond Borish character is pitching stuff through like an Oculus.
Yeah.
Like, it's all like, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what that is with the like. They're this small wireless telecom family, like,
I don't know.
Are tied into pig farming. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was uneven, but interesting. I thought that Paul Rudd was perfectly cast.
I think in 4 days I'm going to wake up and it's just going to hit me what the pig symbolizes, and I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah, I don't know. It was very, yeah. I don't know. Just the empty shell of a, I don't know, like the... I don't know, your intelligence removed and you're just like, I don't know. Is that what the clone's supposed to be? Just the empty
this
shell?
This guy was like, he farmed this artisanal like heritage breed of pig, but pigs that we eat are like genetically identical. Mm-hmm. They just inseminate them all with the same sperm. Sorry to talk about Yeah, like
sorry to talk about pig sperm.
And right. Yeah, they are like pigs are susceptible to like being wiped out by a single disease because they're all genetically identical. So maybe there's something there.
Or maybe it's
off on a way wrong path here.
Yeah, or maybe it's that you're like removing the, I don't know.
The show is about, it's a statement against concentrated animal feeding operations and factory farming and the horrifying conditions that pigs live in.
That checks out as much as anything else, to be honest. I mean, really, I'm looking for the PETA tie-in and it checks out. I believe it. Yeah, anything else you want to say about living with yourself? When the inevitable season two comes back, are you in?
I would watch it again. I found it perfectly enjoyable and, again, digestible at 8 half-hour episodes. I mean, I'm going to fucking probably watch season two of Jack Ryan, and I hate myself for that.
I don't know. At least it's got Hawk Krasinski, so.
I know.
I mean, I he really went through quite a transformation. They really handsomed John Krasinski up.
I have always found John Krasinski handsome.
Oh, me too. But yes, like you see
standing up
those...
straight, combing his hair and
right,
wearing
the
it well,
different
a shirt that fits well. That is like the clone version of Jim Halpert.
Absolutely.
Jim Halpert went to the spa and now he's in the CIA.
Also, what was the Alia Shawkat?
Oh, yeah.
Viciously underused. Yeah. But like, what was the significance of her being like, you're never going to be happy or...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. She was the...
She was a sister, was
his,
right?
His stepsister, yeah.
Half-sister.
Half-sister. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe she's a clone, too. I don't know. Now I feel like I'm going to go... After I watched Wild Wild West, I started seeing people in, like, pinks and purples everywhere.
Wild Wild Country.
Or Wild Wild Country. And, now I'm going to be like, she seems happier than last week. Is this a clone? Is this a clone? Was I cloned through watching the Top Hoppy Day Spa lights changing? Did it do something to rearrange my like DNA? Now,
that would be a high concept show.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. For kids, they have like Puss in Boots Choose Your Own Adventure on Netflix. So yeah. I don't know why I can't choose my own clone. It's going to be Tatiana Maslany, guys. She did such a good job at playing 75 versions of herself. She could absolutely nail being one more version of me. All right. Do you have anything else you want to say about living with yourself?
No, I don't think so.
I think Aisling B is delightful. We didn't talk much about her. Yeah. I think she's great. We talked her own show, This Way Up. We talked about how I find her very charming.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, it's insane to me that Aisling B is in the show with Paul Rudd, because I know for a fact she was at some sleepover in Kildare watching like Clueless. And it just seems, I don't know, it seems very like.
What, are you guys from the same town?
No, she's from Kildare, but it just seems very like.
Oh, she's your clone?
Yeah, clearly. No, but I'm just saying, like, it just seems very, I'm like, that's so weird. Like, she's
someone from.
Yeah, like some of these like
tiny country.
Yeah, stupid like shared experiences that I'm sure she and I have. I don't know. This is when I get locked up for stalking Aisling B. I don't know what I'm trying to say, guys. But anyway, I think it's great. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. She was more than able to hold her own.
I can see the begrudgery in your eyes.
More than able to hold her own with Paul Rudd. And
I'm very happy for her.
I'm very, very happy for her.
Wish her the best of luck.
Absolutely. Nothing but the best notions. And also, did you see the video of Paul Rudd tearing the apple apart with his, tearing it in two?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll tweet that out later.
Okay.
Is there nothing he can't do? Or at least the clone version of Paul Rudd. Okay. All right. We'll be back next week with more TV on the radio. But as always, keep it here on BFF.FM all day today. And thanks so much for listening. Indie Rock Girl Radio is coming up next.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience you'll ever know. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. It's just no good anymore since you went away. Now I spend my time just making rhymes of yesterday. Because one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number. One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. One is the loneliest number, much, much worse than two. A number divided by two. Thank you.
Radio.
All your friends are doing it.
All your friends are doing
all
it.
All your friends are doing
all
it.
All your friends are doing it.
All your friends are doing it.
All your friends are doing
all
it.
All your friends are doing it.
Best frequencies forever.
Something.